Yo, Rob Harvilla from 60 Songs That Explain the 90s here to inform you that we are back with 30 more songs because the 90s were super long and had a ton of rad music. Please join us every Wednesday for more 60 Songs That Explain the 90s only on Spotify.
Nathan, we've got to start using Apple Cash.
Okay. Why?
It's so easy and convenient. Apple Cash lives in Messages, where you and I text all the time.
We do. All right.
So I can pay you in the convos we're already having, like I do when I bribe you to say nice things about my favorite Taylor Swift songs. You'll never forget a payment or have the money just sitting somewhere collecting dust.
You do owe me money from the last time we saw those Taylor and Travis pics, so that is nice.
And once I've done that, you can use that cash right away. You can buy stuff at a store with Apple Pay.
So I don't have to do all the bank transfer stuff then?
Nope. It's just right there. It's easy, convenient, and secure.
Wait, did you just pay me a dollar on Apple Cash?
See how easy that was? Services are provided by Green Dot Bank, member FDIC, terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Thomas's.
Thomas's presents Pondering the Bagel with Tom.
Oh, the paradox of the bagel. Tis crunchy yet soft, tis filling yet has a hole. Tis a vehicle for spreads, but only travels from toaster to plate. Thomas's, huzzah, a toast to breakfast.
Hello and welcome to Every Single Album, Niall Horan?
What?
I'm Nora Frinziati. I'm with Nathan Hubbard. Nathan, how do you feel about this?
How
do you feel
this
about
happen?
This Every Single Album, Niall Horan?
How did this happen? This is a feat of grit and determination. I mean, did Vegas have odds on Niall Horan having a number one album over potentially ending up in an Irish prison or something? I mean, what an accomplishment. You never would have bet that it was Niall who was going to make this happen.
Yeah. So today we're going to be talking about Flicker, which is Niall's debut solo album. Came out in October 2017. Debuts at number one.
What? So hands, like sweat dripping
down laundry, no. And to break that down, all right, I'm gonna tell you, Nathan, a few things that I know about Mr. Niall Horan.
Okay.
He loves Fleetwood Mac and the Eagles.
Oh yeah. We have a theme, a recurring theme here, by the way.
Yeah. He's a little claustrophobic.
Okay.
He's got a touch of acid reflux.
Yeah, bad knees.
I would describe his personal style as to say that he dresses as though golf is always a possibility.
He is a golf freak.
He dresses in a manner so that if golf becomes an opportunity at any point on any given day, don't you worry, Niall can be there.
We should all dress that way. I just call that happy to be here.
I personally disagree, but I support your and Niall's personal happiness. In his time off between One Direction going on indefinite hiatus and right, when he really gets to work on this album, he went on a backpacking trip through Asia with his boys.
Nice.
Other than the fact that Niall was in One Direction, which I acknowledge is significant, I have not really said a single thing here that would differentiate him from like the average guy that you pull out of a Murray Hill bar on a Friday night.
Well, you would know.
I would not. So tell me what makes this guy special enough to have a number one album that we both love.
I don't know. It's just this wonderful story of like hard work and nose to the grindstone. This starts for me with that video where he's with one of the original trio who helped make the first two, I think it's Carl Falk, right?
The Swedish House Mafia.
Yeah.
Not actually who they were.
Helped make the first two One Direction albums, and he's learning how to play the guitar. And he's working at that craft, and he's got something in him, and we hear it a little bit come through lyrically across this album, by the way, that little sort of chip on the shoulder, that little bit of maybe insecurity, I don't know, that drives him. And he did it. Now, we should say Harry's album came out. Just stop you crying, it's a sign of the times. Zayn's album was number one. In the better day, better day, better day. Like, the One Direction brand is a pretty massive halo. And the truth is, he's going to go out and tour, and it's going to be a little bit more work for him to go play bigger venues than it was, say, for the One Direction guys. But this isn't a real album. He's got real people. I mean, yes, Julian Panetta is a carryover, and he worked. But guess who resurfaced? Our old friend Greg Kirsten from the Adele
years. Old pal Greg. There are quite a few of our old pals working on this album, actually.
There really are. Greg worked on Adele 25 and 30, and he worked on Niall Horan's album. I mean, that's a real guy working on this.
I believe, and he was producer of the year at the Grammys, I believe, this year. And sure, the top line of that is working with Adele, right? But this guy's getting in the studio with our guy Niall, too.
I have a conspiracy theory about this album that I need to just put out.
Please.
My conspiracy theory is that there's like this common thread through the lyrics of this album of like, please don't leave me, or the end of a relationship. It's really somebody who is struggling with the end that is either just happened or about to happen in a relationship. I think you could make a case that this whole album is about One Direction breaking up. The shadows dance
without you for the first time. Wow. Wow. I kind of love it.
Narrator.
Nathan.
It's not. But I think you could make that case. And he has this sort of, there's a very interesting sort of, I don't know, it's sad, soft rock. I mean, this is the album that John Mayer should have made. Love on the weekend. I hate your guts because I'm loving every minute of it. As far as I'm concerned. Like, if you take Niall's voice out and put John Mayer's voice in and a little more like guitar noodling.
It's a John Mayer album.
It's a John Mayer album, don't you think?
Yeah. Yeah, but it's.
But yeah, it's not. It's not. We'll talk.
That John Mayer album kind of stunk. So we're going to call it a Niall Horan album instead.
I mean, look, the thing for me about this is it does show a little bit of chink in the armor is wrong, because this is going to sound like a criticism. I think this album, and frankly, Niall's career should be celebrated, because as we talked about in the last episode, there's usually only one guy who gets out of the boy band. So the fact that he's ostensibly, you know, guy number four, maybe five, who gets out and actually has a standalone solo career really, really matters. But he does go out and he's playing smaller venues. He's playing theaters. And then he tries to go play amphitheaters in the U.S., but the attendance is just okay. It's not great. Like, he was playing the Ask Gary amphitheaters of the world. 1-800 Ask Gary amphitheaters of the world. He was playing like,
which 50... by this point in time might have been renamed.
Yeah. Well,
sources tell us the 1-800 Ask Gary amphitheater did not stay the 1-800 Ask Gary amphitheater.
No, he did play. I know that he played the Jiffy Lube Live amphitheater. Still so
that's in Virginia, right?
Oh yeah, yeah. It's basically the DC amphitheater. It's a great place. I grew up going to shows there. But some of these things are 15,000 to 20,000 seat venues, and only about like 6,000 to 9,000 people are showing up in those venues. So he's used to making $290 million on a tour. He plays 83 shows. He makes $25 million. It's harder work. Now, he's not playing arenas anywhere outside of Dublin, right? But what I love about this guy, you and I commented on this through the journey, he loved being in One Direction. He loved being a star. He loved the work. And
yeah,
in this solo career, it feels like he's working. He's actually out there doing the work.
It is the NFL draft season, which is my other vocation. And one thing that people say about draft prospects a lot is scouts or people in the media will describe someone as, well, he's really solid, but there's no one thing that he's great at. He lacks a core defining trait.
People have been saying that about me for my whole life.
How's your 40 time?
Slow. slow.
All right. Well, good thing that you're an able podcaster. One thing that I wonder and hope that maybe by the end of this podcast or by the end of when we go through Heartbreak Weather, I'm trying to figure out what Niall's superpower is. I'm trying to figure out what his core defining trait is. And it might be that it actually is that work ethic and that sort of love for persevering through the stuff that he's doing. He just shows up, and it's sort of an unsexy trait, but it's really, really important.
He's a grinder.
And yeah, it's the type of thing that makes sort of why this album resonates with me hard to figure out, which makes me excited to talk to you about it.
But he's the Mark Hubbard.
It's a really interesting...
He's
you want to unpack that? You want to unpack that for the listeners?
My brother's on the PGA Tour. He's just a grinder. He's just out there. But people appreciate that and enjoy his personality. So he has an outsized fan base and following because of that. But, you know, if he goes head to head with Rory McIlroy, he's going to get his ass kicked.
You never know. What if he goes head to head with Niall? How good of a golfer is Niall?
Niall is okay. Let's talk about his golf game as we get through this, because I have some comments on his golf game.
Okay. You want me to save it?
Yeah, let's save it. Let's go category.
Let's go categories. Let's talk about this album. Let's talk about Slow Hands.
Fuck yeah. Yeah, already know that there ain't no stopping your plans and those slow hands. This song, this is not a debate. This is the biggest hit. It's the second single, which is an interesting thing that they right. were well, like, this, why wouldn't they lead with this? I don't know.
Well, this album had a long run-up. So yeah. This Town was the first single. It was released in September of 2016. The album doesn't come out for another year. It comes out in October 2017. Slow Hands, being the second single that was released, came out in May. So still months before the album is going to come out. So they really drew it out. And maybe This Town was kind of a one-off just because there was going to be so much distance between that coming out and the album that Slow Hands ends up being the one that they really used to build momentum for it. But whatever, it rules.
It rules. There was no tour in 2016. So maybe they felt like they had to feed the audience. I mean, Niall is the one who stayed with Modest Management. So you would assume that you would see some sort of familiarity in the playbook that they're running. And it feels like they're trying to give content. But this song is sexy as fuck. Like, where did this come from? It really is.
Like, well, there's a great irony to that, though, because I agree with you. All of a sudden, innocent Niall is doing sexy time. But the great irony to it that I actually think makes it even better, this song is from the woman's perspective. The woman is coming on to him. We should take this back to my place. That's what
she said back to my face. I'm stunned. I mean, listen, when I listen to this song, I say, oh my God. Like, can someone put this song to the Wicked Game video or like the Freedom 90 video? Like, it's great. How did he get this perspective? Like, do you think Niall was, I mean, I guess it's the horndoggery, right?
I don't know if the horndog name had been coined yet, though. But one thing that we do know about Niall is that when he was a young lad, his email address, which he used to send in his original X Factor application, was da_pimp_is_ere@hotmail.com. So, you know, from a very young age, I guess he was training all his life for this moment.
I look, again, nobody likes being famous as much as Niall does, I don't think. But this song, look, thank goodness for Julian Panetta. I mean, Julian helped write a lot of that later stage One Direction stuff. This does sound like it could be a One Direction song. Why don't we play this game? Who would they have given the verses to if they'd done this in One Direction? I've been thinking about it all day, and
probably Harry.
Right?
Yeah. And he'd take it pretty slowly and give it a little bit of rasp.
Yeah, Liam would have the, like, tricked out, like, yes, or whatever. That would be Liam's voice. And I hope you feel the same
way. Yeah. Well, the best thing is that when Niall does it, he sounds like he's, like, impersonating Elvis or something. Yeah. He's like, yeah.
This song is awesome. It got to number 11 on the Billboard Hot 100, which is better than a lot of One Direction songs.
Yep.
And by the way, he's definitely singing in a bathroom. And it's totally consistent with what we've seen of him. You know he's in his underwear, first of all, and only his underwear.
Wait, what tells you that he's in a bathroom?
You got to listen to the vocal. Like, you can hear...
It just sounds echoey?
Yeah. And it's not just the effect. Like, they've got him somewhere in something that has tile or metal surfaces. And it sounds great.
Yeah, he does sound great. On this song is just a bop.
I just, like, did you know he had this? I had no idea. It's like if you scout a pitcher and you're like, okay, he throws like a 88 mile an hour fastball and like a decent curveball, and you step up and he throws like 102 right past you, and you're like, I'm completely frozen, you win. That's how I feel listening to this song. I'm like, Niall, I didn't know you had it.
So I can make an argument that we could have seen it coming, that Niall could sort of like do a sexy tune, right? This is, he kind of went there with Temporary Fix and some stuff like that. The thing that is sort of amazing about this song is it's cool.
Yes.
It's not just like exuberant. It's not just sort of passionate and oh my God, I want you so badly, so I'm just going to scream. Like, we sort of know that Niall has that.
Yeah.
But it's really smooth.
No, it is super smooth. Look, my sister's in town for the weekend and we were hanging out with my family, and I'm always DJing, and I put on like secretly like a One Direction playlist of like some stuff that I like just to see if she would notice and ask, right? And I found myself, I kept putting in Wolves because Wolves is fucking good. In the middle.
Wolves and slaps.
It's great, but it's not smooth.
No.
Like, there's a goofiness to Wolves, but like, it's a great song. The chorus is awesome. And by the way, it totally works at a party, just so y'all know. But it doesn't work as well as Slow Hands.
So I did something kind of similar recently. Had some friends over. And okay. I should issue a little bit of a confession. You could have come. Early on in this process, I started making fun of my boyfriend by telling everyone that Niall was his favorite. I'm not sure he could have picked Niall out of a lineup at this point.
Right.
So I've been carrying this on, but we're all hanging out and I'm playing music and Slow Hands is on.
Yes.
And he looks over at the speakers and sees it and goes, "This is Niall. I love this song. I love Niall."
Yeah, you converted him. This song converted a lot of people. I'll tell you that.
This song converted a lot of people, but that's the point, is that I wonder how many people don't even know that this song is Niall.
Well,
know that this song is a song they heard on the radio a bunch, but I'm not sure that it even really connected with a lot of people.
I think it's massively underappreciated. It's just like Niall. Like, you don't realize it, but it's there. This is a treasure. It is a treasure. And the album... Hey, we can talk about the rest of the album. The album should have been made for this song alone. This song needed to see the light of day. I mean, we'll get to drafting songs, but I can tell you this is in my top 10 for sure of anything that's been put out by the One Direction crew.
It's really way up there. It's a great song. So then I assume that it is your best song.
It is. I mean, it is. And I will say that this town is beautiful. I love the "everything comes back to you" line. It gets me right in the feels. Over and over, the only truth, everything comes back to you. Has a little bit of like the John Mayer hat tip, which, you know, whatever. But "everything comes back to you" is a killer line. And I love his voice on it. I love that they didn't try to over inject lyrics and he hums that last outro on the chorus.
Everything comes back to you.
And it's okay that there aren't words there. They just let that line, everything comes back to you, hang out there. I understand why they picked it as the first single, but it's genuinely, the chorus is absolutely gorgeous.
One of the ways in which Niall just continues to surprise is that I think of him as this golden retriever bundle of energy, totally exuberant. His core trait is enthusiasm.
Right.
That's all true. There is so much restraint on this album, which is sort of remarkable. Like the fact that on the first go around, they really seem to know when not to do too much and when less is more. And it's super impressive. I have a real soft spot for Too Much to Ask.
You do?
I forget you're not even a close my eyes.
Because he says the word fucked up?
Don't it feel fucked up when you're not in love?
Well, the F-bomb I do think is important.
First time we've heard it, right?
Yeah, and
outside of a Zane record.
Right. Anytime you have a like one song, if I ever made an album, I would just have one explicit song on there because then they know you really mean it.
Okay. I mean,
I think that's cool. All right. Oh, well, it's beautiful. I think the melody's beautiful.
Here's Nora's one explicit rap song, and now more soft rock.
Just going back to mid-tempo, you know. No, I think that's that. Too Much to Ask is on my list as well. But it really, on this album, it is Slow Hands and Slow Hands and Slow Hands. Can I give you a wild card?
Are you going to say On My Own?
I'll drink till it's empty, stay out till it's dead. I'll wake up at midday and marry my bed.
No.
Okay. Give
but
me
are
wild
you
card.
Gonna say On My Own? Okay, but then you gotta fill in the blank there.
Yes.
The cover of Post Malone Circles that he does live is so good.
Whoa.
Run away, run away, run away, run away.
It is so good.
Tell me about it.
First of all, the number one thing that's important about it to me is that it just shows you how far his voice has come. There's rasp, there's control.
Yeah.
But there's something about, I think this is just Niall covering songs that also tends to be really great, is because it's an opportunity for him to, one, display his musicianship, which was the thing that, you know, he started working on really in earnest before the other members of One Direction so early on were getting into that. But it also just shows you how much of a fan of stuff he is. And we talked about this a little bit with Harry, but he just gets so into it.
Right.
The main reason that I love that is because he just sounds great on it. He's playing the guitar. He works in the middle. He just weaves in a couple lines from Pumped Up Kicks.
Nice.
And then just goes back. It is so cool.
All the other kids pumped up, kids, you better run, I'll run my gun.
It sounds absolutely great, but you just can see how into it he is. So he's really fun to watch perform in that way, and he sounds awesome on it.
I like when he covers songs. On tour, he did Dancing in the Dark. He actually did more One Direction songs than covers. Like, he did one cover and then...
I want to change my clothes, my hair, my face.
Fool's Gold and Drag Me Down.
Don't regret falling for you. Fool's Gold.
But I agree. I think he actually holds up well as a... Listen, he started as a cover singer. That's what the X Factor was. But he can really do it. And I think he plays some characters across this album. His voice sounds different on Seeing Blind.
Oh, my, my, you just took
with my girl, Maren Morris,
yeah.
who he was yeah. early on, right? She supported him on that tour as the
totally.
Opening act, but like sort of making that quasi-country song happen. His voice is very different, certainly than on Slow Hands, but also on This Town, it's very soft. And then you get through Flicker and You and Me, and like he manages to sound authentic even when his voice is, again, playing some different characters. That's what I like about this.
Yeah, and it does help because I do think that this album, look, so the first five tracks, right, that's On the Loose, This Town, Seeing Blind, Slow Hands, Too Much to Ask.
Mm-hmm.
That's where I think it's really strong. There's
yeah.
some other gems, totally, but the strength of this album is definitely at the top of it, and some of the stuff that's later on, particularly because they're not using a whole bunch of computers and wacky production tricks.
Right.
Just using instruments and Niall's voice. Some of those songs still leave me wanting a little bit more, but the
For
fact
sure.
that he is able to modulate his voice in those ways, put on sort of different affects, it helps. It certainly
yeah.
helps. And I think it helps when he covers stuff too, to your point.
I don't understand why On My Own wasn't on this album. Like, we got the Irish jig we needed. He talks about getting punched in the head and kissing all the girls. Like, ballads and Irish drinking songs. Let's go. That would have been the perfect tagline for Flicker. It's a slightly different crew that produces this thing. I just don't get why they didn't put it on.
Yeah, I'm with you. Maybe it's because it is a different vibe for the most
yeah.
part.
Yeah.
But I love fair. It. And it's totally a Niall vibe. I mean, you totally hear... You hear the act my age kind of
right.
let's just be wacky.
That's what it is.
Thing.
It's kind of an act my age cousin.
And it's super fun. I wish it had been on the album.
Are there little diamonds in the rough on the back part of the album, or mostly do they feel like they try to get there and don't? Like, I feel that way about Paper Houses.
And I paper houses reach the stars.
Like, it tries to get there, but it doesn't quite. Flicker, I like lyrically, it's really great. It tries to be good. It really has best intentions of being good.
Still a flicker of hope that you first gave to me. That I want to keep.
But doesn't quite get there for me.
Yeah, I'm Paper Houses is one of the more meh ones to me.
Mm-hmm.
Even though his vocal sounds really good in it, I really like it. I have kind of a soft spot for Mirrors. Just because it's a little, if there's anything on this, on the back half of this that we're going to describe as a little harder, that would be it. And I think at that point in the album, once you're into the deluxe edition, my ear is yearning
sore.
For a little bit of a change.
Yeah.
So that's fun for me.
I don't mind You and Me.
'Cause I know what's to come. And it's coming for you and me.
It's got a lot of Coldplay's Everglow.
There's a feeling within me, Everglow.
The melody is really pretty, though.
Yes. Yeah. But I enjoy it. Since We're Alone, I'm okay with.
Don't you know you got the best of me? Yeah, you're everything I want.
It steals a lot of Dire Straits' Sultan's a Swing, the guitar.
Well, now you step inside, but you don't see too many faces.
But those are all okay. If we have to
like Since We're Alone. I like Since We're Alone a good bit. It's just good. It's good vibes.
If we have to cut, though, what are we doing?
If I have to cut something, I'm cutting Fire Away.
I am cutting Fire Away.
'Cause you know it'll be okay. Fire away.
Wow, Nathan, look at us.
Firing away, fire away. I mean, it just, yeah. Come on, man. It's too soft rocky. It's just too soft rock.
Yeah. The thing that cracks me up about it is that there's a melody towards the end when he's saying, "And I will steady your head.
And I will steady your hand when you're losing your grip."
Which sounds like the Nelly song over and over with Tim McGraw.
Oh, yeah.
Because it's all in my head. I think about it over and over again.
Like, it's just that little snippet of melody, but I'm like immediately transported to, I don't know, 2011 or whatever, whenever that song came out, whenever I hear it. So it really like is simultaneously a song that I don't like very, very much and one that comes with sort of an out-of-body experience in about 10 seconds towards the end of it. I just don't think that much happens in the song. Again, he sounds nice, but...
I need to tell you something.
Okay.
Over and Over Again was released in September of 2004.
2004?
You were like 8.
Well, that's why I don't know. Like, I probably heard that song for the first time in 2011.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Anyway, maybe you were born to that song and that's why it's so close to you.
2004?
Yeah. Can you believe
it? This is brutal.
God, it's brutal out here.
Can I rant for a sec?
Yes, please, Nora. You know I love when you do.
Pay apps are way too public.
Uh-oh. What happened?
Okay, so some rando hearted a payment from 5 months ago and I realized people can see my entire history, who I'm paying. Full names, it's super weird.
Yeah, it is super weird. Well, how are you going to pay your friends then? I'm asking for a friend.
Apple Cash. It's all in messages. You can literally send cash like a text, and it stays between friends. Random people can't see it.
Did you just pay me a dollar on Apple Cash?
Shh. Services are provided by Green Dot Bank, member FDIC, terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Thomas's.
Thomas's presents Pondering the Bagel with Tom.
Oh, the paradox of the bagel. 'Tis crunchy yet soft. 'Tis filling yet has a hole. 'Tis a vehicle for spreads, but only travels from toaster to plate. Thomas's, huzzah, a toast to breakfast.
This episode is brought to you by Jiffy Lube. Cars can be a big investment, so it's important to take care of them. I once got a car that I started out with 25,000 miles on. I got it to over 200,000 miles because I took care of it. You know how you take care of a car? You take care of the maintenance, the oil, the brakes, all that stuff. And if you don't, you can have a car just completely fall apart. When your car needs maintenance, head to Jiffy Lube. They provide automotive excellence at speed. Get your oil changed, brakes checked, tons of other multi-care services. It's all done by expertly trained technicians who actually care about taking care of you and your car. Jiffy Lube, car more. To find coupons and start an instant online estimate, visit jiffylube.com.
Anyway, here we are. Back to Nile. I think it's definitely fire away. I'm sort of with you that like paper houses is pretty meh. I actually thought Mirrors was a little eh, but I liked it a little bit more the more I listened to it. The Tide at the end is interesting. It sounds like it could be a Sarah Bareilles song. But I think you're
right. I'd take that cover.
Yeah, me too. Exactly. That's what I was sort of hoping for. But fire away, like eject.
Is being fired away.
Yeah, paper houses.
It's fired.
Maybe we set those on fire. Yeah, yeah. Back to 2004 for you guys. And look, I didn't need 10, 12 killer tracks. It is a chill album. There's no like party anthems. Is risky in that way from my perspective, in that even Harry felt like he had to put some real rockers on that album. This one, man, you can't just take this and go play the fired up crowd. that is expecting to dance for the night. This is a very, this is just, it's very, very soft rock. And it was a choice. And I think there was a little bit of a risk to it, but I love that he went for it. And there's a lot of him in this album in a bunch of different shades. So I appreciate it.
I think Harry kind of took that risk too.
Different ways.
To a lesser degree, because he was Harry Styles. So the same risk is actually less risky because he probably had more cushion to work with.
Yeah.
But I don't think that the fact that Harry's album was a little bit more hard rocky in places necessarily changes the fact that they're just, both of these guys made albums that don't, I guess you could argue Slow Hands, but there's just really not a lot of like, we are sure this is going to work on radio and this is definitely what's going to get you, you know, an invite to Jingle Ball, and this is going to be the song. And it is kind of fascinating that both of them not necessarily didn't care, but neither one of them really went that route.
Well, so who's his most important collaborator? Did he do this alone? I don't think he did. Yeah.
He did not. But he does get a writing credit on every single one of these songs.
Yes, and he's first listed.
He's first listed. It seemed like he was pretty eager once he'd done all of his backpacking with his buddies to sit down and write some songs.
Okay.
Which again speaks to the Nile work ethic, the Nile desire to do more and just to keep going.
Yeah.
He was mostly working with people that he'd sort of met over the course of the One Direction days. Julian Bonetta and John Ryan are on a lot of these songs. Jamie Scott's also on a lot of these, on a couple of these songs. Ruth Ann Cunningham, who'd done Where Do Broken Hearts Go and No Control, gets some credits in here. But
okay,
brings in Greg Kurstin, who we know from working with Adele. Hello from the outside. And also, I would be wrong not to mention Kelly Clarkson!
Kelly Clarkson!
No, Kelly Clarkson!
Greg Kurstin pops in for This Town, Too Much to Ask, and Since We're Alone. And then he gets our old friend Dan Wilson from Semisonic and Treacherous and Come Back, Be Here and Someone Like You and Not Ready to Make Nice and all sorts of fun stuff. This love is treacherous. Never mind, I'll find someone like you. I'm not ready to make nice. And then he gets some people sort of with more country backgrounds, a little bit of more sort of like rockish stuff. Jaquire King, who'd worked with Cold War Kids and Kings of Leon. You know that I could use somebody. And was also working with Shania Twain at the time that they were doing this album, is in here. So he's brought some new people into the mix, but it's a lot of old friends.
Yeah.
I would like them to be acknowledged because I'm not going to choose them as the most important collaborator, because Niall's most important collaborator was our friend Maren Morris.
Yes, thank you. God, I thought you were never going to get there.
I wanted everybody to get their due because they were all fighting for second place.
Okay, fair enough. I agree with you on that. Maren is the shit. The Bones Are Good is a badass song. She is a badass artist and songwriter. I would add one more person to the collaborator list, by the way. Matt Chamberlain plays drums on The Loose. She loves the way they all crawl back when she says that she loves nobody else but you. And Matt Chamberlain has a very long history of badassness playing drums across like every... Like he played on all the Tori Amos records. He's played on Brandi Carlile. He played on Wrecking Ball with Bruce Springsteen. Like, he is a monster. Yeah, we know it come tomorrow. None of this will be here. by the way, he played with Stevie Nicks, so you know Harry knows who he is. He is a monster drummer. And so just appearing on this album to me is like a signal that this is actually a guy with talent.
That's sort of how I feel about Greg Kurstin's involvement.
Yeah. Yeah. I totally
mean, I'm
agree.
Sure there was a decent check involved, but that was someone who had, especially in this moment, like really the pick of the litter in terms of who he would have wanted to work with. And there are real signifiers that, one, smart decisions about who to pair him up with were being made. And that does bring us back to Maren, right? Because she was not at the height of her powers yet.
No,
but
she's
someone
a songwriter.
That they really recognized as someone they could bring out on tour, work with. And I love seeing Blind.
I was young. My heart was always on the run.
Yeah, it's a good song. And she was a rising artist that he understood was going to help sort of transition him. I mean, listen, going from One Direction to country, a country song with it. And Maren obviously has crossover stuff. She did Song with the Chainsmokers and more. So she's more than a Nashville based artist, but she is a songwriter. Like, it's not easy to just go One Direction into Nashville.
And it seems like there's even more kind of, you can hear, I don't think there are any other songs on this record that are country songs.
No.
But you can hear some of the influence. You can hear some of the little guitar licks. It feels like he's listening to that stuff, which I agree is a choice, right? Like, some of it is probably, you can match it up with some of the sort of Irish folk tune stuff as well.
Sure.
But it seems like you can hear beyond the classic rock influences that Niall is interested in a lot of different types of music and a lot of different stuff. The other thing I think you can hear on Seeing Blind is just that he has a lot of experience singing with other people.
Feels too good to be true. I found my missing piece.
Oh, that's a really
She
good
has
point.
A great voice. The two of them to me sound really good together, and they sound like
really
two people
point.
Who understand how to sing in a duet.
And that is true. They are both very good at singing duets. So is that your peak Niall moment or something? What's your peak Niall?
No. So I think my peak Niall is the fact that Slow Hands is not from his perspective, but it's from the woman's perspective. It's everything you're hearing, and it's like, oh my God, is Niall kind of smooth now? But if you really read it, he says, that's what she said right to my face.
That's what she said right to my face.
So I love to think of that song as a woman really, really effectively and in a very cool manner coming on to Niall, and Niall just being like, oh my God.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's my preferred read of that song. And I think it's very fun. Runner up though. And maybe this will come up when we cover Heartbreak Weather some more, but he's dating Hailee Steinfeld during at least some of this time.
Mm.
And two of the most high-profile dates on record that they went on were that he brought her to a Backstreet Boys concert in Las Vegas.
Fuck yeah.
And he brought her to the Masters.
Yeah, I you know he brought her to the Masters.
Well, first of all, great dates. Great going, Niall.
Those are good dates.
Second of all, though,
having just come back from the Masters, I can tell you, terrific dates.
Lovely. They do happen to be things that Niall has just like great affection for.
Yeah.
And
boy bands and golf.
Boy bands and golf.
That's what he's all about.
And that is evidence that Niall at his core is just a lover of the things that he loves.
Yes.
I think is a runner up peak Niall.
He's who he is.
Moment. He is who he is.
And he loves the things that he loves.
What is your peak Niall?
My peak Niall happened at the Masters, even though it wasn't specifically during this era. It is his love of golf. I mean, he starts a golf management business through Modest that actually, if you fast forward to today, if you've read anything about this supposed rival golf league that's being started by a bunch of Saudi Arabian money, there's a couple.
It's Niall?
It's Niall's golf management company that he started manages a couple of golfers who have been rumored to be in the mix to leave the PGA Tour and go to the Saudi League. So his golf management business is one of those movers and shakers behind the scenes, like really impacting a professional sport on its own. But the craziest Niall moment from the Masters is not that he went with her on a date to the Masters. It's that he caddied for Rory McIlroy in the par three contest in 2015. But there is an interview where the BBC is about to interview them and he's carrying the bag. And, you know, he's not a very large guy. And the bag is heavy. I've caddied on tour for my brother. Like, it's not light. The thing is like 60 plus pounds. Niall falls over on camera, complete wipeout while carrying the bag. Like, he missteps or the bag is just too much for his little leprechaun ass. And he just whomp and he goes right over on camera. And there's this wonderful scene where like the journalist looks at him sympathetically. Like, Rory looks down and is like, what have I done asking this guy to carry my bag? And Niall just pops back up like nothing happened, full energy. Nobody can drag him down.
Hi. Hi, Rory. Hi, Niall. Thanks very much. Oh, no, Niall. It's a bit slippy. Imagine what it's like playing golf out of these pine needles. Well done. Rory, let's...
He has bad knees. He has to be careful.
Well, he was very careful.
Can we just loop back quickly to this golf league thing? Is this shady? It sounds shady. Is Niall involved in a shady golf scheme?
Well, there's a little bit of moral dilemma. If you heard about how Phil Mickelson, we're not going to spend a pod on this. Phil Mickelson, you know, got into some hot water for sort of being the ringleader of this whole thing and making some comments to a journalist about how he understood the moral dilemma that he was in, but you know, there was a lot of money and therefore
based on it being located in Saudi Arabia.
Yeah, it's really sort of sports washing. It's the Saudi Arabian government spending money, not really for a business, but just throwing money at this golf league to try to, you know, erase the focus on things like human rights abuse violations and to turn the attention more on to golf and sports and, you know, their investing and all those things. So it has very highly capitalistic and sports washing intents. And that said, Niall and his golf company are not driving that, but they are the agent of a number of players who are being recruited to join this thing.
Okay.
Allegedly. And
wow.
So they sit at a very interesting sort of nexus of power in the golf world. And it is very relevant to Niall because he is a huge sports fan. We know that he was big into soccer team. We know that he's hugely into golf. And we also know that he's not really large enough to carry a golf bag.
Niall, it all comes back to Niall just being a real lover of the things that he loves.
There in 2015, by the way, when he was caddying.
Did you see him fall over?
No, I did not. But I was at the par three contest. I saw him carrying the bag for Rory. And, you know, Tiger Woods is out there. It's the year Jordan Spieth broke through. And Niall Horan was the biggest star at the par three contest. I mean, literally, Tiger took a picture with him and Rory.
It's incredible. It's incredible. It's also, he is such a sports fan because if you go to his Twitter page now, like, he's Niall Horan. He could just be tweeting about himself.
Yeah.
Most of his Twitter page is just like retweets of Sky Sports about soccer.
Yeah. He wants to be Scott Van Pelt or something. Yeah.
He's the best. He's just the best. All right, Nathan, I have an important question for you.
Okay.
I don't think any of these songs are about Taylor Swift, but
I don't either.
Are any of these songs about
Ellie Goulding?
Anyone?
Well, I should have saved my One Direction conspiracy theory for this moment because I think that this whole album might be the manifestation of his manly bottled up feelings about the breakup of One Direction.
I really like where your head is just because it does seem as though if you read between the lines, Niall has not really been in one place at one time for long enough to have super long-term established relationships for these songs to be about. I will posit you one conspiracy theory of my own, although it is somewhat backed up by, I won't say fact, but by People magazine reports.
Usually fact.
Is On the Loose about Selena Gomez.
Whoa.
She jumped from that flight, meet you that night.
Talk to me.
So, People Magazine.
Yes.
Claims that Niall and our girl Selena were spotted making out at Jenna Dewan's birthday party after they'd both performed at the Kiss FM Jingle Ball.
Okay.
And they've been friends for a long time. I think there have been a couple instances where there's been speculation that there might be a romantic relationship there. Usually it seems like that isn't the case. Like, they've definitely been legit friends for a long time.
Right.
If there is any point in that timeline when they may have crossed over to the romantic side for a little bit, it's around this point.
But, like, was it romantic or was it just kind of like, you know, the lyrics of On My Own? Like, he's just going to kiss all the women and get punched in the head. Like, was it an actual moment?
You think this was like a DFMO?
Yeah, I do. I don't think Selena Gomez is really in denial.
So this is why I'm saying, this is why I reference On the Loose in this category, right? Because I don't think that any of the, like, deeply felt, I don't think that This Town or Too Much to Ask.
And I want to tell you everything, words I never got to see the first time around. I forget you're not even a close my eyes. Do you still think of me sometimes?
Those songs are not about Selena Gomez. I'm not sure those songs are about anyone. I think those songs are based on ideas that he was experimenting writing with. But a mysterious and alluring woman out on the town doing interesting things and on the loose, I can see it.
Listen, again, never underestimate Niall Horan. He's in the mix with Selena. He's in the mix with Ellie Goulding. Like, he's in some sort of love rhombus with Ellie Goulding and Ed Sheeran and somebody else. Who knows?
Rhombus.
You can't underestimate Niall Horan. You do so at your peril. He's out on the par three course at the Masters, carrying the bag, falling down. He's just a guy.
There ends up being a Haley Steinfeld song, Wrong Direction.
And it's so good when two falling in the wrong direction.
That may or may not be about our guy Niall. And then I like Ed Sheeran's Don't.
I told her she knows. Take aim and reload. I don't want to know that, babe.
As a person who can be ungenerous to Ed Sheeran's songs, I like that song.
That's saying something. That's the first compliment you've ever offered to Ed.
I had a long conversation at dinner recently about Ed Sheeran. I like quite a few Ed Sheeran songs. I just like Ed Sheeran less than the average person.
See, I think Ed and Niall are kind of birds of a feather. Like, they're both guys who like to be in bars and have fun and hang out with their mates and jump up on the table in a bar and with a guitar and they'll do their thing. Like, I think they're kind of maybe the same guy.
That's why Ed has to be friends with Harry, because he needs to be friends with somebody with, like, slightly different energy.
Yeah. Both these guys massively outkick their coverage. Although Niall's pretty cute.
Niall's a total cutie.
All right.
Niall is a type. I will not name names, but a very close friend of mine. We tend to not think the same people are attractive, but I respect her perspective.
Okay. And
a dear friend of mine really thinks Niall is very adorable.
Did anything happen on March 25th related to Niall?
So not really related to Niall. On March 24th, Zayn puts out Still Got Time.
Yeah.
Just stop looking for love. Still got time. Girl, still got time.
With Party Next Door, he's starting to get into his second album cycle. I think the thing that stands out, if we just leave that date aside and check in with the boys, is that they're all kind of doing their thing. Because Harry's got his album out. Zayn is moving on to album number two and starting to put new music out again. Louis has some songs out. He's got Back to You, Just Like You, and Miss You.
Maybe I miss you.
A lot of yous.
Well, back to you sounds achingly familiar if you listen to this town, but yes.
And he's judging on the X Factor a little bit too. And Liam's got Strip That Down with Quavo, which goes to number 10 on the Hot 100.
No, I used to be in 1D.
Now I'm a freak.
People want me for one thing.
That's not me.
I'm not changing the way that I
used to be.
So, like, everybody's kind of
doing
swimming,
it.
Right? Like, nobody from One Direction at this point is
getting
sinking out
shots
in the world as a solo artist at yeah all, which in and of itself is incredibly impressive.
Yeah, I agree. Well, so who won this album?
I'm trying to, like, galaxy brain my way into anyone other than Niall. But Niall.
I'll give you an alternative. Niall okay gets a part of it. It's the writers of Slow Hands. Niall, it's Julian Bonetta, it's Ruth Ann Cunningham. We've made fun of these guys for having 10 people write a song. Finally, however many people, Ruth Ann Cunningham, Alexander Izquierdo, Tobias Gesso Jr., who wrote Adele's When We Were Young, Jamie Ryan, who we've seen before, like this crew got together and made this thing happen. I think they win as the writers of this song.
Yeah, that works for me. I'm into it. I just want to give it to Niall because he's so nice.
Well, I don't know how. The only other alternative was he would have lost the album. So
he
I'm
definitely
glad
didn't lose the album.
He didn't lose the album. He did not lose the album.
I think Niall wins the album by virtue of having an album that debuted at number one.
Exactly. So is there a. God. Is there a swoony part to this? Like, what's your favorite lyric?
I just was thinking about this as best lyrics. Okay. I mean, I like the F-bomb.
I like the F-bomb
and Too Much to Ask.
I like the F-bomb a lot.
Don't it feel fucked up when I'm in love?
I'm into My Shadows Dancing Without You for the first time.
My shadows dance without you.
Not sure I know what it means. Like, I get the vibe. I'm mm-hmm having trouble getting the specific of that, but I'm into it.
That's
it
not so
good
important. It's not so important. Yeah.
What about you?
Well, again, my job is to point out the shittiest lyric. I actually really like the chorus of On My Own, even though he says, I'll wake up at midday and marry my bed. I'll kiss all the women, get punched in the head.
I'll wake up at midday.
I mean, you got to pick a side. There's no middle feeling here. There's a binary outcome. Yes, no. And I think I'm all in on yes, because I really enjoy the song. My problem with you taking mirrors is there's a lyric in there that is, the coffee's cold. He turned around and said, I hope you know you're beautiful. Have you ever been told?
The coffee's cold. He turned around and said, I hope you know. Have you ever been told?
So it was a little bit, you know, it's a nice hat tip to You Don't Know You're Beautiful.
You don't know you're beautiful. Oh, oh, that's what makes you beautiful.
But also, like, can we just get past this already and make our own albums?
See, I feel differently because in On the Loose, there's the line, she'll dance in the dark.
She dances in the dark, real good art. Eyes could burn down the room.
Which yeah I think is cute because he covers Dancing
right
in the Dark.
Right, right.
This gun's for hire. Even if we're standing in the dark.
Look, at least it's thoughtful. At least it's thoughtful.
I'm into it. For a bonus question. So he did cover, he covered Dancing in the Dark. He also covered Tom Petty's I Won't Back Down.
You can stare me up every day so fair, won't back down.
He
mm-hmm
covered Life in the Fast Lane.
Life in the Fast Lane. Sure to make you lose your mind. Life in the Fast Lane.
At one point, he covered New York State of Mind.
Go on.
And then he covered Camila Cabello's Crying in the Club.
Yeah.
And
a lot. He played that like frequently.
Is that your favorite of those covers? Are you into the Springsteen or do you have a preference there? Because I just think Nile covering, I almost want to, I'm adding an impromptu category, which is best Nile Horan cover song, because I think he's great at it.
That's so interesting to hear you say, because you would have negged him on the X Factor so many years ago. You would have.
Oh my gosh. No.
You would have tried to talk Katy Perry out of letting him through.
I am grateful to look, without Katy Perry, we would not be having this conversation.
Mm-hmm. I mean, we owe so much to Katy. Yeah. Look, if you're asking me, my favorite cover is his One Direction cover of Drag Me Down. But if that doesn't count, then I'll go Crying in the Club.
I think the Crying in the Club is great. I love when he does Dancing in the Dark. I think he sounds great doing that. I also, this wasn't on tour, but he does Julia Michaels' Issues. Mm-hmm. And that's great.
I got issues. You got them too. Give them all to me and I'll give mine to you.
Mm-hmm. Well,
I'm just bringing all this stuff up so that producer Kaya can just pump it chock full of sound and it's going to be awesome and we're going to get to hear from Niall.
Yeah. Speaking of dropping the F-bomb, she just did that 6 times through the course of that little segment from you. Nora.
Nathan.
How do you grade this thing?
Yeah, it's a really good question.
This is hard to grade.
Because are you grading based on improvement, how unexpectedly right. good something is, or are right. you really grading it in the same way that we would, you know, hold up a heavy hitter's work?
I had to go back and restate my grades from the first two 1D albums because of the same problem.
It's hard because it is such a journey. It's just, I mean, that's part of what strikes me about that the Post Malone cover is just this dude didn't used to sound like this.
Right.
I gave it a B+.
Mm.
Slow Hands is an A+.
Yes.
Plus.
Yes. Slow Hands is Atlas carrying the globe on his shoulders.
Totally. There's an A EP in the front half of this.
Yes. With On My Own on it.
I think later on it gets not that much weaker. But it just gets a little bit repetitive. And there are songs that I think are pleasant, but not all that much more than pleasant.
They're paper houses, Nora. They're paper houses.
And our paper houses reach the stars.
I want them to be better. I keep waiting for them to grab me and take off. They just are a little too soft. So we're back into our sort of standard. I gave it a B, but to your point, like if he had just released the EP, it's an A. There just wasn't quite enough that grabbed you and kept you going. And that is the danger in releasing a soft rock album, is that after the 6 songs, it's like people start going to the bathroom at the concert when they play the like ballad or the new song, right? And so if it's not something that's really going to hold people in and keep the energy up, you're going to lose attention. And that happens a little bit at the back part of this album, unless you're listening to this sort of extended version and then you get On My Own. You're like, wow, okay, there's something here. And to your point, Mirrors has some energy. But
and that's, I don't want to dock him too much for that because I do absolutely believe that this is the album that he wanted to make. Right.
Yeah.
And we love so much that Niall is such a fan of the things that he's a fan of. And I would not want him to deny that impulse because I think it's a good impulse.
Yeah.
So I was trying to separate, okay, how much am I docking this thing? Because I don't necessarily, unless it's really, really superlative, want to listen to this much soft rock.
No.
And I think it's inevitably a little bit of a part of why some of this stuff doesn't make my heart soar.
Yeah.
But this is still a shockingly good album and the best moments on it are really, really, really wonderful. So I didn't want to be too harsh on that front.
Mm. Well, what we should say is, you know, you got to give credit to Simon Cowell and maybe Nicole Scherzinger, if she was really the one who saw it from the beginning. He saw it.
And to Katy Perry.
They knew that it was in there and that it just was going to take time. And then that the grit and just the like Irish going to make it happen that exists in this guy and his love of, he loves being on stage. He loves being famous. He loves being a star. And there was a chance that he was going to go the way of, you know, insert fifth member of boy band that we haven't heard from since here. But he
was Joey Fatone up to.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I do feel like Joey's more than some of the other fifth guys in the, you know. Anyway, Niall is not. Niall is a guy. He's a real guy with his own career, and he's got thousands of fans.
I'm a real boy.
Yeah. and I think that in and of itself is a revelation that you probably, in the same way that, you know, as we talk about Louis and Liam, that those were some of the underappreciated parts of the band. And there's that scene in the documentary on them where they're out in the woods and they're around the fire and they've like, you know, they've been trying to build up the fire and somebody says, oh, good job, Pano, or whatever, as the whole thing collapses or whatever. But there's a moment where they said, somebody asked the question, like, do you think we'd be as big if it wasn't all the five of us? And in my head at the time, I was like, fuck yeah, you would. As long as you got Harry and Zane, you'd be fine. But I think the more that we get away from that in time and see what was behind it and see some of the writing skill that was clearly in the band and some of just the way in which Niall clearly was able to put his thumbprint on this band, the more I sort of appreciate how special all five of them together was and concede that it was probably important that they each brought enough to the table that you couldn't have just interchanged some other little leprechaun and had one DB as big as they were.
Very cool. This has been Every Single Album, Niall Horan. As always, I'm Nora Princiati. He's Nathan Hubbard. We will be back on Thursday breaking down Harry Styles' second album, Fine Line. As always, thank you to Kaya McMullen for her expert production support on this episode, and we will talk to you soon.
This episode is brought to you by State Farm. You might say all kinds of stuff when things go wrong, but these are the words you really need to remember. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. They've got options to fit your unique insurance needs, meaning you can talk to your agent to choose the coverage you need, have coverage options to protect the things you value most, file a claim right on the State Farm mobile app, and even reach a real person when you need to talk to someone. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.